أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and dear brothers, the occasion that had taken place last week, that had been viewed by many media houses, and also prior to the occasion, it was posted on our masjid board, and that was the launch of Asri. Indeed, it is an inaugural moment, not only, I would say, for the Muslims of South Africa, but most definitely for the Muslim Ummah at large. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْسُوهَا. Most definitely the ni'mah and the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us are innumerable. It is beyond the comprehension of man. To find in this age and in this era, in a non-Muslim country, where Muslims are a minority, Muslims have a voice where they are able to express, and not only express their opinion in a critical way, but a platform has been given and welcomed by the government for the Muslims' input into the development of South Africa, that is our country. Where does this stem from? Is the National Development Plan that the government has set out to achieve by the year 2030. This is ASRI, stands for the Owl Social Economic Research Institute, a platform of concerned Muslims who are made up of our civil society that have come together and approached government that we are here to assist you in the implementation of this National Development Plan. My beloved brothers and elders, we need to understand this as a boon and a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is our role as individual citizens of this country? Every believer or every person has two obligations. One is his commitment and obligation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fulfilling the obligations of his divine command. And one is a collective obligation towards man and towards society. We cannot absolve ourselves from what is taking place in the development of our country, which will definitely impact the world. Deen is not only confined to ibadat, but deen only stems from ibadat, from our rituals and obligations in fulfilling towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the correct manner that will permeate, and the effect of that will run into the communities that we live in. So we need to understand what is our position in this country. And most definitely our example is in the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prior to the advent of prophethood, in the very early youth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know the time of ignorance, and there were many untimely occasions. There were battles that were fought, and to the extent of wars between the Arabs of that time over trivial matters. And there was a big war that had taken place, Harbul Fujar. After that, the Arabs had realized that we cannot continue in this manner for very much longer, because Arabia has lost its credibility in the world at that time. And obviously, Makkah Mukarramah was the center and the focus at that time. We are no more a credible nation, and the safety and security that lies in the lands on Sham and Abyssinia, we do not find that in Arabia. So that had brought forth what was known as Hilful Fudul, and some of the leaders at that time had gathered the people in the house of, I think it was Abdullah bin Janan, who was the cousin of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha. And he had the great habit of feeding people to the extent one Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that his generosity of feeding was so great that at times I would take shade in the pot in which he would cook in. That's how he would describe the size of the pot that he would feed. Nevertheless, what was Hilful Fudul? It was a pledge that was taken and a covenant that was signed by the leaders to bring about safety and security in the Arabian Peninsula at that time and obviously alleviate the oppressed of their difficulties. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was part and parcel of that. What happened at the time when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had made hijrah to Madinatul Munawwara? Amongst the first things that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had instituted was what is known as As-Sahifatul Madina, the constitution of Madina Munawwara. And this constitution was all-encompassing. It contained approximately 47 different clauses. And this saw to the safety and security of the inhabitants of Medina. And the inhabitants included many and various tribes of the Jews, not only the Muslims, who were the Ansar and the Muhajir, but also it included the various tribes of the Jews. Everyone had accepted and was bound by this constitution, As-Sahifatul Madina. It was there to alleviate the difficulties of the oppressed. It was there to safeguard Medina. Each and every citizen of Medina Munawwara was governed by this constitution that we will protect our borders collectively, no matter what our race or our identity or religious background might be. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was exemplary. He was a legislator. He was a ruler. He was a judge. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was an architect of society. And history bears testimony to the fact that this was the first constitution that was ever set out. And what was the distinguishing factor that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as the head of state in the constitutional and political history of mankind, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had given equal status to the minority, equal to the minority citizenship, equal to that of the majority. This was not only verbal, but this was the first constitution that was put in writing, acknowledging their citizenship, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had upheld it and implemented it by way of example. We have a role to play, like we have said, and the lessons that we learn, that a nation rises together and will fall together. The parable in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, where he mentions the example of a ship, when people are traveling on two different decks on the ship, some are those on the upper level, and there are others that are on the lower level. When those on the lower level require any needs and supplies, they ask from those on the upper level, and they continue to pester them for water and basic amenities. And they realize after a while, why must we give them inconvenience? Let us just make a hole in the hull of the ship, and we will have water as much as we desire, as much as we need and we require. If the people of the upper deck do not curb them from this evil intention, everybody will be destroyed. So a nation, every individual forms a nation, and a nation is formed by every individual. If we look at the history of Islam, the era of the Khilafah of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh, this was a springboard for the explosion of Islam into the world. In the 10 years of the rulership in the Khilafah of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh, we know Islam spread far and wide. But what is it and what role did the Khilafah of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh play as far as institutionalizing and bringing about a structure of government and administration? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said regarding Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh, Law kana ba'di nabiyan lakana Umar, that if after me there had to be a Nabi, it would have been Umar radiallahu ta'ala anh. Examples are numerous in regards to agriculture, in regards to water supply. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh was the one that instituted that canals be dug and water be given, and water arrangements for water for agriculture and drinking purposes be catered for. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh created a police force for security reasons. He created a military, and a military of what stature? That he created different regiments in the military. There were different sahaba, different people that were allocated different responsibilities. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh allocated stipends for those who were fighting in the military and guarding the borders of the Islamic State. All of this never happened in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Why? Because the manner was different at that time. But in his implementing all of this, not once did he deviate from the principle laid down by Quran, Sunnah, and his predeceased Khalifa Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu also brought about educational institutes. He brought about stipends for the poor and needy. He brought about housing structures to facilitate for those who required basic necessities of living. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, as far as education was concerned, he instituted this principle of ahadith. If we look at the ahadith books that we have and that are commonly known to us, this came much later in the era of Islam. But what happened? Up till that time, Sahaba knew ahadith as normal as they had learned during their time of their life. When it came to the rule of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, if a ruling had to be given, Sahaba were brought forward to narrate a hadith regarding to that ruling. It was not only accepted on face value. What was the credibility of that person? There needed to be witnesses. And if it was in accordance with Quran, if it was in accordance with Sunnah, if it was in accordance with the majority of the learned at that time, and if it was accepted and recorded and brought in this type of formality under different subjects and topics. Likewise, the knowledge of jurisprudence of fiqh, like we find it today, under different chapters, this was instituted by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. So my beloved brothers and elders, we find that we have a responsibility. Our life is not only our life confined to our family and our businesses. We are here living as part and parcel of this community and society. And as civil society, we need to make an impact. We need to make an input. And an input that is positive, not an input that is negative and only that of complaints, but an input that is positive, that will be contribute to the upliftment of society as a whole. We will end on one anecdote. There were once two Sufis, and Hazrat Shaqiq and Hazrat Fudail. So Hazrat Shaqiq had decided that he wants to lead the balance of his life in the Haram of Makkah Mukarramah, devoting his life towards the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Fudail asked Shaqiq, "Oh Shaqiq, what has prompted you to do so?" So he says that at once I had taken note and I had seen a blind bird. And after a while I thought to myself, how will this blind bird be able to survive by itself and take care of its own needs as a basic need of food to live? And after a while he saw the nizam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another bird flies to this blind bird with a worm in its mouth and it puts it into the beak of the blind bird. So Shaqiq, he says, his reasoning, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take care of a blind bird, me, I'm a human being, I'm more beloved to Allah. If I devote my life to Allah, won't Allah take care of me? So that is the reason. So Fudail then asked Shaqiq, and he says, greatly and undoubtedly you are doing a very great thing, but let me ask you a question. Why did you choose to be the blind bird and not choose to be the bird that is feeding the worm to the blind bird? So my beloved brothers and elders, each and every one of us needs to ask ourselves the question, what am I doing for the upliftment of the community and the upliftment that I can give to our community in whichever sector of society may be? The reward is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For again, an incident we will mention and end of, in the life of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he would patrol the streets and he would go on the outskirts of Medina Munawwara. On one evening, he was out with his slave Aslam and they were going towards the area of Harra. And in a distance, he noticed a fire burning. As they got closer, they noticed a woman with some children and the children were crying. And the woman had the fire, and on the fire she had a pen. He greeted the woman and asked permission to enter into the confines, into the precincts. She gave the permission. He asked regarding her well-being and what is in the pot. And she complained and she said that Umar radiallahu anhu is the Khalifa, only if he knows our condition. I've just put water in the pan to soothe the conscience of the children so that they believe that food is being prepared and in that way they will fall off to sleep. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu immediately stands up. He goes back to the Baytul Mal with Aslam He takes some dates, he takes some flour, and he takes some fat and some money and some clothing, and puts it in a sack, and he tells Aslam to put it on his back. Aslam insists, as a slave, I am here to do the job. Said Umar radiallahu anhu insists that no, put it on my back, for verily on the day of Qiyamah, you are not going to be the one that is going to carry my load. Umar radiallahu anhu carries this load on his back. He comes to the camp of this woman and the children. He himself begins to prepare the food. Once the food is prepared, he feeds it to the children, and then he moves off to a distance, and he begins to notice that they are playing happily, and then they return to Madina Munawwara, and he tells Aslam, how I had seen them in distress, I wish to see them in the state of happiness. My beloved brothers and elders, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability for us to realize what is our responsibility, and give us the ability to make an effort in fulfilling that responsibility. And the greatest responsibility of man is not the responsibility of his physical needs of this world, but it is the responsibility of his needs of the life of the year after. One announcement, my beloved brothers, tomorrow evening, another bounty of Allah. Allah has blessed our town with another hafiza, and the daughter of brother Javed Pasha will be completing her Hifdul Quran after the Maghrib Salah. We request all the brothers to take part of this auspicious occasion, a time and opportunity when du'as are accepted. Let us ask our women folk also to be part and parcel of this occasion. Jazakumullah.